The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Welcome! We're glad you guys are here with us this morning. My name is John. I'm the pastor here at Hope Hill Church. It's great to have you guys here with us this morning. This is a special week. We're starting a brand new series. It's a four-week series. My hope is that you'll give us a chance as a visitor and come back each of the 4 weeks to kind of check us out and see what we're about. There's only so much you can learn about us in a Sunday morning gathering, and you'll hear more about that today. But today is a good day if you're visiting with us, because this series we're doing called Growth Track, we're going to hammer into the DNA, who we are as a people, what we do as a church, what we base our direction and our vision on. It's all being unfolded today. And I want to invite you to come back each week to see how this all unfolds. If you have been through a Hope Hill 101 class, this is going to sound very familiar to you, because it basically is Hope Hill 101. Next week is 201, 301, and 401. And my hope is that you stay engaged. We are 5 years old as a church. How does that work out mathematically since we started in 2010? Well, the first year is kind of like us being in the womb. We weren't really birthed yet. Does that make sense? That just came to me. But in the first year or so, we were kind of just gathering together in a home and praying and dreaming of what a new church could look like. And officially in 2011, we launched. And so that's how we're 5 years old. That came up. That was one of the nagging questions in this guy's mind was, I don't understand your math. You're a year off. So I just figured it out. So anyway, at 5 years old, this past February that just passed, we kicked off a vision for our next season of life as a church. It's called Hope for Nova. We announced that as a church, we are ready to buy our first Hope house. If you're new to us, that doesn't make any sense. But basically, as a church, we don't see ourselves just owning a stained glass cathedral one day on a corner, but instead, we see ourselves owning homes in many different communities and doing outreach through those homes, tutoring, food pantries, having them be homes for foster children, homes for Bible studies. And if they're big enough homes, like the one that we believe that God is going to lead us to buy, or is leading us to buy, enable us to buy in May, we may own our first Hope House come May. It's on a full acre of land. And we just got a 15-year loan on it, really good rate, from our convention. But still, we need some money to make these things happen, and God invites us to be a part of that. So if you would like to partner with us, our hope is over the next 30 days, the month of April, to raise $70,000 to get the wheels rolling in this mission. If you would like to help us reach that, we were a third of the way there already, just from our first week. But if you would like to help us reach that goal of $70,000, consider partnering with us. Read this card. You can give a one-time gift or a monthly gift or however you want to give. We will say thank you for whatever it is that you're able to give. So this is something to pray about. So we know not everybody can do it, but we want to say thank you to those who can. All right, let's dive into Growth Track 101. All right, if you got your notes, go ahead and pull them out. As we prepare to dive into this new series, my hope again is that you'll come back each week. If for some reason you miss these weeks, we will offer Growth Track every month going forward. So if you miss 101, 201, or 301, or 401, then go to the class when it's offered in the classroom. But as a church, since we're kind of unrolling it, we're starting it all together. Does that make sense? Even if it doesn't, we're doing it anyway. All right. So let's start. Check out this video. This video captures our first year of life as a church. I'm going to talk over it. So in 2010, April, we started meeting in our homes, just praying and dreaming about what a new church could look like. As people started coming, we knew that God was up to something. In our first 3 months, we grew to 80 people, and 14 people gave their hearts to Christ. In a little bit in the video, you're going to see us out at Lake Montclair, where those 14 people were getting baptized. And it was exciting. What was crazy is that In these times of dreaming and praying and planning, we started a youth group that met. Brandy says I shouldn't say this, but it met up in my bedroom. It was the biggest space where they could have their own space. So they met up in the bedroom. Down in the basement, we had nursery, and the adults met on the main level. When February rolled around and we were able to come into the school, we had a church donate most of the equipment that you see there in these pictures. We trained a team how to set it up and tear it down. And if you notice, you won't recognize some of those people because this is a transient area. A lot of those people have moved on. Hence, there is an open door opportunity for you to join the setup and tear down team. Yes, you can sign up today at the Connection Center. We'll train you like we were trained there on how to transform the classrooms, the children's spaces, the meeting spaces, so that we can meet in this place every week for worship. From the beginning, it's been our heart to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. Our goal is not to build a stained glass cathedral on a corner somewhere, but to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. A yard sale time came, the Ashland Community Yard Sale, and I said to our community, to our core group meeting in our home, hey, instead of doing that stupid yard sale we do, why don't we just take it and give all those things away to people in need? So we went to a school, and now we're getting ready to do it again in May. We do it a couple times a year, every year, and we want you to join us. We're going to put all our goods together. We're going to invite the community to come and get whatever you need free of charge. It's a free sale, okay? In addition to that, we go into our community often. We do these backyard Bible clubs. You can see these in many different neighborhoods. Those are going to be happening again in June. And here are those baptisms I was telling you about. For the first 2-3 years of our existence, this was my favorite service of the year. We'd always go on the July 4th weekend and do baptisms out at the lake. And the last one, we had 250 people showed up, and Montclair called the police on us. So we've not been back. So anyway, we were only allowed to have 60 there. And I don't know, people just invited friends. You can't stop them, right? So since then, we now do baptisms here. We do them periodically. Our next one is coming up the first Sunday in May. We will have another outdoor baptism. If God allows it, we'll do it at our Hope House that we're about to buy. There's a great big pool there. It's in need of serious repair. So if there's any pool people here, let us know and we'll put you to work soon. We hope to have that house by May so we can begin renovating it and transforming it into the Hope Center, Hope House that God is leading us to use it to be. So I hope that made sense. All right, so we started just 5 years ago. God is doing some awesome stuff in us and through us, and we want you to get on board with us. The church of God is the body. It's you and I. It's not a building. It's the people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, who are transformed by His presence in our lives and on the mission of Jesus Christ. And we hope that you will join us in this mission. You can turn out your notes. We're going to go ahead and go through these quickly. Today is going to be kind of more like a class than a teaching, like a sermon. And so I apologize for that. I like telling stories and getting into the weeds and pulling things apart. But there's so much content you can see here. We're going to fly through some of this. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. Send them in an email to me, and I'll either cover them in one of the next sessions coming up, or we'll get together one-on-one and talk about them. But let's dive in. All right. So we want you to know the mission of our church. If this is where God is calling you to get involved and invested, we want you to know what we're about. First of all, our mission statement is this. We exist to glorify God, to transform lives, and impact the world. Let me break that down just quickly. Glorify God. The scriptures tell us that whether you eat or drink, in all that you do, bring glory to God. So in the way that you work, and the way that you teach, and the way that you play soccer, and the way that you cook meals, and the way that you are a child doing chores for your parents, and everything we do, we should bring God glory. A lot of us, we think of, well, serving God is really contained to, you know, those religious acts, those times when we gather together at church service. But the truth is that we are the church always, 24/7. Those of us who have been saved by Jesus Christ, who are seeing Him as our Lord, we are the church always, and we in all areas of our life are to glorify Him. Let me keep going. We're to glorify God. The second thing is we're to transform lives. First of all, we are to have our own lives transformed. As we, as broken people, myself included, as we come to God, God begins to transform us from the inside out. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit coming and filling our lives and making us the people He's called us to be. Am I still a mess? Yes, there are many areas of my life that need a lot of transformation still. But daily, I am trying to discover what it means to die to myself and become more like Him. And that's the process of transformation. We are called to be a body that helps bring transformation to the world. The Scriptures tell us in Jeremiah 29, a lot of you have a coffee cup or a t-shirt or a poster that says Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to help you prosper. A lot of us, we memorize that one, but we don't know the whole story. The Bible talks about a time when the nation of Israel was captive. They were led into Babylonian captivity, made slaves. And God says to them at this moment, pay attention. I have brought you into captivity. I want you to live among those people in a way that they see you and see that things are different among you. Build houses among those people. In the city which I have carried you, plant gardens. Bless the people. Pray for the city where I have carried you. For if it prospers, you too will prosper. Marry off your sons and daughters. Exchange and live among them. When 70 years has passed, when you call on me and seek me, you will find me. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. A lot of us know that last part, but we don't know all about that other stuff. We're supposed to be blessing the people around us, praying for our city, planting gardens. Hey, how many of you like to garden? Raise your hand. We need you to help us start a community garden on the 1 acre that we're about to get. Okay? We are told, not suggested, not, you know, it'll be really nice if you do this. We are told as the people of God to be the church of God in the city where He has planted us. This is our place where God has planted us. We are to be about bringing transformation to the lives of those around us. Okay? Does that make sense? Glorify God, transform lives. When we do this, we will make an impact in the world where God has placed us. Glorify God, transform lives, and impact the world. This is the mission that God has us on. My hope is that you are being led to join this mission. What are we called to do as the church? Well, as I've been saying, you and I are the church. You're called to do things. I'm called to do things. We're called to do things together. What are those two things? Well, the first two things are the foundation for what we do. You ready for them? There was a time when a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, came to Jesus and said, okay, Jesus, in all my training, I've memorized and studied the Torah. I've studied 613 laws. Of all of that stuff I've studied, if you are who you say you are, what is the greatest commandment of all of them? And Jesus said, make sure you're at church every Sunday. Is that what He said? Some of you are like, really? Is that? No, that's not. Jesus said this. He said, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the most important two things that you and I are to do as followers of Jesus, as the church, is to love God and love others. Are you loving God? A lot of you are here this morning to sing praises to Him. Well, my question is, what happens when you leave here? Are you loving people? Are you loving God outside of these places? Jesus said, as you treat those out around you, you're treating me in that same way. And so we are called to love God and love our neighbor. And we can't sidestep that. Are you doing that? Number two, the second thing we're called to do is called the Great Commission. The first was called the Great Commandment. The second is the Great Commission. Jesus said to His disciples, He'd spent 3 years of the last 3 years of His life with this close followers, friends and followers. And He said, I'm about to leave, but before I do, I'm leaving you behind. And I want you to go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that I've taught you. And so here's the thing, is we're supposed to love God, we're supposed to love people, we're supposed to help others come to know who He is, teach them what He's taught us, and baptize them so that they can continue the process. This is the mission that God has called Hope Hill Church to. We believe that God is our King and our Lord. He's called us to continue this mission, and we've got to do everything that we can. The first word there is therefore, go. It's not therefore, build a building and hope they come to you. I've been a part of many churches in my life growing up, and some of the thought was, well, if they're not coming here, we can't take care of everybody out there. They've got to come to us. I can understand the logistical reason you might say our resources are fairly limited, but I believe that as we give, we can't outgive God. Just like that boy with those feeding of the 5,000, he said, God, here's my fish, here's my bread. It's only a little bit, but Jesus said, I'll take your little bit and I'll make it much. And so when we come to God and not say, oh, we don't have enough to meet their needs, you know what? We don't, but Jesus does. So we need to take our minds and say, it's not about us. It's not about taking care of you and I sitting behind each other here. It's about us getting prepared. This is kind of like halftime. You know, this is kind of like the locker room in a football game, if you will. No real football player is supposed to go and just sit the bench. They're not really on the team, unless you're RG3. But this is our time. This is our time to get encouraged and equipped. This is not church. What we do out there is church. This is our time to get equipped and encouraged so that we can be the church, not just go to church. It's not what we go to, it's who we are. So we got to leave this place on His mission to go and to make disciples of all nations. Okay, so I'm about to give you a couple things real quick. These are what we call essentials. And what these are many, how many of you grew up in church? It's all right if you didn't. It's all right. But I bet you as many hands that were raised, there's probably as many different kinds of churches represented. Episcopal, Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, non-denominational, grandma's church at the kitchen table, all kinds of churches, okay, we come from. But there are certain key things that unite us. And we call these essentials. In essentials, we have unity. And we want you to know that at Hope Hill Church, there are some basic essentials we want you to agree with us in order to be on this team, to be a part of this family. Now, there are some things that we can differ on, and that's okay. In not essentials, we have grace. But essentials, we need to have unity. Those essentials are number one. First of all, we believe the Bible is God's Word. In its original text, the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic, when God first poured it out by the power of the Holy Spirit, and men wrote it as the Holy Spirit led them, we believe that was infallible and without error. We believe in that context, it is exactly what God wanted it to be. And we base our beliefs and teachings on the Scriptures, the Holy Bible. There are many religions out there, all have their own different writings. We believe in the Holy Bible. And there's a whole class, if you want to know why we believe in the Bible, on podcast, you can find a series called Text, TXT, and it's like a four-week series on why we believe the Bible. I don't have time to get into all today, but the beauty of podcasts, you can go back and listen on your own time. It's called TXT on our podcast. All right, so we believe the Bible is the Word of God, and we base everything on it. Number two, we believe there is a God, and the God exists in three persons. We call this the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They all three somehow are one. They all three have their own distinct wills and personalities, but somehow they are one. Jesus submits to the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit submits to the will of the Father and the Son. But somehow, together, they are one. It's not God became Jesus, who now is the Holy Spirit. That's modalism. But all three exist eternally, always. God the Father is omniscient, omnipresent. I'm getting too deep. We don't have time to deal with this, okay? But God exists, God the Father. Jesus became flesh. He was God in flesh, but He was also fully man. And He is our pastor, if you will. Jesus is the head of this church. I'm just a guy who gets to be along for the privileged ride. He is our leader. It's all about Him. And we could be a good deed doing organization like the Red Cross or like so many others out there. But if we're not about Jesus, we're missing the point. We're not here just to give somebody food on their table without also leading them to know the true bread of life in Jesus Christ. And so it's all about Jesus. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there to empower us, to transform us, to be the people He's called us to be. I want to give you a little bit more on that before we go. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? For two reasons. One, first of all, we believe in salvation. What is salvation? We believe that at the beginning of time, God made us in His image. He made us not so we would be religious people, but so that we would have a relationship. What's the difference? Religion says, I believe there's some kind of God, and if I'm religious, I've got to do certain things to earn that God's favor. That's religion. I got to go to church enough. I got to give enough. I got to pray enough. If I do enough, I will earn His favor and blessing in my life. If I don't have God's blessing, I must not be doing enough of what I'm supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? That's not what God has called us to. God has called us to be in relationship with Him. God says, you can pile up all the good things you want, but your righteousness is not good enough. Paul says that our righteousness is comparable to filthy rags. We're not good enough. We fall short of God's glory. God said, it's not about what you can do. It's about realizing what I've already done for you. I sent my Son. He died on a cross for you to save you of your sins. Simply believe in me. Believe that I love you. Believe that I want to transform you. Believe that I want you to live the life following me. That is how we become a child of God. It's a relationship, not a religion. Salvation happens at the point when we realize that apart from God, we are sinners. We are apart from Him, and we need His forgiveness. We need to accept the fact that Jesus died on a cross. His blood was shed. The Scriptures say that by the shedding of blood, sins are washed away white as snow. When we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just, and He will forgive us of all of our unrighteousness. We believe salvation is necessary for all of us and that we all must accept it. We believe in the Bible, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in salvation. The Holy Spirit comes into our life at the moment of salvation and begins to transform us and make us the people He wants us to be. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus is about to go to heaven, and He says to His closest disciples, who He has spent 3 years teaching, I want you to go and to teach everyone. Remember He said that, go and make disciples? But He said, wait, don't go yet. I want you to wait for the Holy Spirit. He will come and He will give you power. The word there is dunamis. That's dynamite. That's some powerful stuff. He says, I'm going to give you the power that you need to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the world. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. The Bible says that we need to learn to die daily to ourselves and allow Him and His presence of His Holy Spirit to come in and fill us and make us the people He wants us to be. We believe as a church that at the moment of your salvation, at the moment that you call out to Him and say, I want you in my life, that the Holy Spirit comes inside and begins to transform you. The word there is sanctify. He begins to make you like Himself. It's as we learn to die to ourselves that we're made more and more like Him through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. All right, let's dive in. Let's go a little deeper. There is definitely more to our beliefs. If you go to hopehillchurch.org, there's a whole section on what we believe. There's several things there that you can read, but because of time, I want to refer you to the website. But these are the core principles that we have to agree on in order to be heading in the same direction together. All right, let's go forward. How do we define church? We believe the church is different than any other organization, because it's an organism. It's a family. You should hopefully, I know it's not the case for all of us, but hopefully most of us come from a healthy family where we had roles and I had chores to do. I had my part. I had my place. In the same way, as a church, we're a family. We each have a part to play. Everyone is needed. when one suffers, when somebody in my family suffered, we all suffered. We are here to take care of one another, to lift each other up, to encourage each other, not to abandon each other. That's how a family is wired. We also are built on the principles that God laid out for us. And there are two things that we carry on as a church together. Two things that we do often are baptism and communion. I've already talked about baptism a little bit. Baptism is basically a way, you saw some of the pictures. Those were individuals who were either sitting in a service or in my living room, or at some point in your life, you heard this message that you needed Jesus in your life. You accepted him as your Savior. And what baptism is, it's your way of telling the world you've done so. It's showing on the outside what's happened on the inside. And so when you go through the act of baptism, you're saying to those around you, I am a follower of Jesus. I've put my faith and trust in him, and I want you to know. And so Jesus said, you should believe and be baptized. And so if you've not went through the steps of baptism, the first Sunday in May, whatever date that is, you'll have an opportunity to do that. I'd like to talk to you if you're thinking about baptism, and we can talk a little bit more about those details. The second thing we do often is communion. Communion is our way. The night before Jesus was arrested, he took a piece of bread. He was celebrating the Passover. And he said, there's something new about tonight's dinner. I want you to know that this bread is now a symbol of what I'm about to do. My body is about to be broken for you. I'm going to die on the cross. So when you eat of this bread in the future, I want you to think of me and what I did for you. He took the cup and he said, my blood is about to be shed for you. As often as you drink of this, I want you to remember how my blood was shed. I want you to remember what I did for you so that you live in remembrance of me. And so often here, almost weekly, we have stations around the room where we'll encourage you to go and to take communion. Serve your husband, your wife, your children. You take the basket of bread, you offer it to those in your party, your friends, whoever's with you, and you say, remember Jesus' body broken for you. We take the cup of juice, remember his blood shed for you, and we dip the bread in the juice for sanitary reasons. Instead of all of us drinking out of the same cup, we dip the bread and we eat it. And we remember, some of you are like, I'm glad you said that. I know, we got some germ freaks here, but anyway, we remember what Christ did for us. That's our motivation to live for him. And so that's why we do it often. Some churches do it once a quarter or on the fifth Sunday of each month. I think that is once a quarter. But anyway, we do it often. Jesus simply said, as often as you do it, remember me. And so that's what we do. Baptism and communion. Let's go on a little further. How else do we define church? Church, as I've said, is not something we do. It's who we are. I want you to watch this little cute video that was made a few years ago that kind of gives us an example of what a church should be. Simple? Kinda. Some of you, that's earth shattering. But that's what it's been about from the beginning. We have been called to go. All right. So, the church is not something we go to. It is who we are. We're supposed to be empowered to go outside of this place. On Sundays, yes, there are going to be times when we gather. We're going to do youth group. We're going to do Bible study. We're going to do community groups. And my hope is that if you're not in a community group yet, that you would do so. A community group is really special because it's a smaller. It's like 8 or 10 of you meeting in a home, sharing a meal together. And there's time for you to talk, to share your struggles. It can be messy, yes. But we need to learn to be authentic and real and dirty and gritty with one another. We're not all shiny, clean people, and yet we're called to journey together, to sharpen each other, to encourage each other, equip each other. Join a community group today. But as the church, we're also to get out and to make a difference in the world. As one body, we're called to be the church outside of this place, working as Jesus' hands and feet in every place that He sends us. Also, we're to invest in what God is doing as a body. And so, like I've said, next week, you're going to discover some of the essentials about how to grow in your walk, how to study the Bible. What does it mean to pray? What does it mean to grow? Some of you belong to gyms, right? Some of you need to belong to a gym. But some of you, I'm totally joking. That was totally bad. I'm the one. I'm back up to 200 pounds, okay? I was at 186. I'm trying to dig myself out of a hole. In the same way, we need to learn some spiritual habits to help us grow spiritually. A lot of us work at taking care of ourselves physically, but we need to work at sharpening ourselves spiritually. You need to learn some spiritual habits, how to read God's Word, how to let your spiritual disciplines function in your life to make you the person God wants you to be. We're going to talk about that more next week. The third week, we're going to do some evaluation, some spiritual gift testing, personality testing, all that kind of fun stuff, where we see how we're wired to be uniquely used in the body of Christ. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. We all have different blessings, and God wants to use all of them. And so how do we do this? We invest in one another by sharing our time, our talents, and our treasure. There's something I want passed out. The membership renewal cards. Can I get a couple ushers back there? As these cards are getting ready to be passed out, we believe that God, as a body, every body has different members, okay? The members are needed. The hand is needed, but without the elbow, the hand's not going to be any good. Without the eyes, the hand's going to have a hard time doing what and picking up what it's supposed to do. Without feet, we're not going to get to be able to go. There's all kinds of members of the body, and each one is needed. And the same way, we need to know if we can count on you to be a member of this body. I want these cards passed out to everyone, whether you need it or not. Just pass them out. We want to hear from you. If you are here and you're feeling like, yes, I think God wants me to be a member of the body of Hope Hill. We need button pushers. We need teachers. We need singers. We need people who can teach English as second language. We need people who can take care of kids, not just here in our programs on Sunday mornings, but in the tutoring programs we're going to do out of our Hope Houses and Hope Centers. We need people who can set up and tear down after church on Sundays and take care of signs out on the streets. I had to stop at one this morning because the wind blew it down, but we need other people who will help us set up and tear down every week. There is a place for you. If I didn't mention what you're gifted or passionate about, we want to hear about it. Billy Haynes, where are you? Are you in here? No, he's actually serving. He came to us a couple months ago and said, you know, I don't see it on the list, but what I'm passionate about is helping kids with autism and special needs. We're like, God has put that on our heart. We want to hear. God sent you here to do it. We now have a special needs ministry running in the back where he's serving. And several of you have got on board with that. If you have something you're passionate about, God's brought you here for a reason, and we're supposed to help equip you to do that which He's leading you to do. So we want you to become a member. We want you to join a community group where you can get closer and invested in iron sharpening iron. We want you to complete this set of four classes called our growth track so you can know who we are, know who you are, know what God is calling us to do, and get on a team so we can all do it together. And we want you to embrace the vision that God has led our church to do, the Hope for Nova vision. We believe that through these things, God will use our time, God will use our talents, and God will use our treasure. In the book of Malachi, God says, test me in this. I want you to bring all of the tithes into the storehouse so that my house will be full. And see if I will not open up the floodgates of heaven and pour blessing into your life. God calls us to invest in His body and invest in His work. And so are you giving your time, your talent, and your treasure? We believe that a tithe biblically is 10% of what we make. Are you giving back to God out of what He's blessed you with? If we together use our gifts, our tithes, our talents, our treasure, all of it, we will see God do amazing things through us, things that we couldn't even believe or imagine. If we are on board with Him, He will do great things through us. So that card that was just passed out to you, every year we do a renewal. And if this year, if last year you were like, well, I was a member last year, I already did this. Well, in January, technically, that expired. Now, I'm joking, kind of. We need to know, since this area is so transient, some of you are here for a month, some of you are here for 3 years, some of you are here forever because you're stuck, but we want to know who you are and if you are committed to this family. And so if you're considering saying, yes, I'm a member of this church this year, I want to be, fill out that white card, even if you did it last year. We want this done each year, a renewal. And consider the things on that card. If you need to take that card home and pray about it, we completely understand. If there are questions you want to ask, let's have a conversation about those. But we want you to take serious what God is doing through us, because He wants to do it through you. And we need to know if you're willing to be used to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So that's, in a nutshell, Hope Hill 101. It's the basics of who we are, what we believe about God, and where we're going as a church. As we continue these classes over the month, you'll discover more of how this all develops and how you can be used. But my hope is that you're willing to take this first step today. Let's pray, and I'll have our worship team come on up. As we're praying, there's a lot I threw at you very quickly. The most important thing I said today is that God loves you, and He wants you to love Him. He loves you so much that He demonstrated His love for us when He, through His Son Jesus Christ, laid down His life for us and took our sins upon Himself. He who knew no sin and never sinned became sin in our place. When Jesus was put on the cross, it was you and I who were on His mind. He took our sins upon Himself and He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And to any who would believe in that and receive it, Jesus says, if you believe in your heart that I died for you, if you confess me with your mouth that I'm your Lord, then I will save you. I will transform you. I will call you to be a part of my family, and I will live through you the life that I'm calling you to lead. If you're here today and you've never done that, my hope and prayer is that you do it right now. You call out to Him and say, Jesus, yes, come into my life. Thank you for the things that Pastor John has shared. Come in and make me new. If you're here today and you have put your faith in Jesus, but you're not quite sure about the rest, my hope is that you'd allow God to show you how it is you're to be a part of this church family, how it is you're supposed to be using your gifts, your talents, your abilities for Him and for expanding His love and His kingdom to those in this world who so desperately need it. Listen to His voice and obey Him today. Consider signing up for the family here at Hope Hill Church. God, move among us now, I pray. I pray that as we enter into this time of reflection and prayer, thinking about what we've heard and what we should be doing as our next steps, I pray that You would lead us, and I pray that we would simply be obedient. God, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, remembering Your body broken and Your blood shed, help us to do this in a way that is real, God, realizing how much You gave for us and that You did it so that we would then live for You. God, meet us here in this place at this time, I pray. At this time, as you feel led, sit there and pray, sit there and worship. Move to one of the four stations around the room to take communion. But most of all, listen to God and be obedient. We'll have prayer teams. If you want to just take time to pray about anything you've heard, I'll be up here in front willing to pray with you as well. Respond now as Jesus leads you.